under your chair. Oh, explosives,
Doc. Do you know what? I think there are under the chair. Biscuits. Bits of biscuit under the chair.
Bits of strawberry sandwich as well, so I think we may have this dog for the day. But yeah, I mean, the fact that there are those weaknesses and yet she's achieved all that she's done. And you look at her records and people have been comparing her early career here at Roland Garros with Chris Evert, who without question, I think everyone would agree, is the best clay court player of all time. And it bears comparison. And yet she's the first person to say, don't be ridiculous. I hope one day to be considered in that sort of bracket. But for now, let me just see what I can do. And this is, by the way, her fourth consecutive quarterfinal at Roland Garros. You don't necessarily associate Americans, of course, with clay court tennis, but she's been to a final here in both the singles and the doubles. I think the future is so exciting for her.
We're a little bit behind on the women's doubles. So this is round of 16 matches taking place today. We've almost set the quarterfinals in the men's doubles, and we're one match away from setting the semi-finals in the mixed doubles, because that will be the first final. And last year it was on the Thursday, the mixed doubles final. So they're going to get through those matches. Junior competition well underway as well, so very much looking forward. We've still got the wheelchair competitions, the legends competition. There's still so much action taking place in these last few days. Day 10 of Roland Garros. Our home for today will be Philippe Chatrier. Will be the singles quarterfinals, two women's, two men's, two women's followed by two men's. Get in touch with us at radio_RG, French Open Radio, FFT.fr. We have the fruit. We'll have some random conversation. We're going to have plenty of tennis. We might have some sun breaking through a little bit later. We have a dog that's now settled in our commentary box, and you'll be in the very safe hands of Eleanor and Marcus.
Thank you, Gigi. Perfect timing, because the players are just about ready to get going. There was some bright sunshine 25, 30 minutes or so ago. Certainly when I was walking in from the hotel, it was warm. And it's very pleasant, if a little overcast at the moment, as we prepare to get going. How are you feeling, Lady E, after another late night here last night?
I am fired up and ready to roll, Marcus. I've just emerged from under the desk here in the commentary box, where I curled up with a blanket at about 2 a.m., waited for you and Empress Gigi to arrive.
Your professionalism is unbelievable. Coco gets underway with a first serve into the net. Chatrier has a sprinkling of spectators at the moment. Well, more than a sprinkling, but room for plenty more to arrive. They were thronging the concourse as I came in. Double full from Coco. Maybe she wasn't part of the commentary team, was she, last night?
I mean, Gigi and I might have put in a few double faults of our own at various points. It was a five-setter followed by a five-setter. So a long day here at Radio Roland Garros, but a great day. Two compelling contests. Novak Djokovic just about coming through with a big injury cloud over him. There'll be more discussion about that, I'm sure, today, going into his next match. And, of course, Alexander Zverev prevailing in the end over Holger Rune. But that was a really gritty tussle.
Slice backhand down the line was missed by Ons Jabeur, so it's 15-all and a second serve for Coco Gauff. She's going to the forehand of Jabeur, who hooks her return across court, and she goes down the line but misses.
I have to say, the listeners were on magnificent form last night. They really kept Gigi and I going when we were flagging. We had a wonderful combination of tennis and fruit, which then went into vegetables and other foodstuffs as well. So tennis players who have an association with fruit or vegetables and then other food sources. So when I say the words Naomi Moussaka to you, you'll understand what I mean.
Yes, I did hear some of that last night. It was certainly developing into unusual territory. That's a good forehand winner from Gauff. So after the double fault to start the match, he's reeled off 3 points in a row. For the moment you mentioned Holger Pruner, I knew we were in for an interesting evening.
Andre Rubablev was another favourite.
Coco, 40-15. Backhand reply is deep and in from Jabeur. Now she's going on to the forehand. So too is Coco Gauff. Slice on the backhand from Jabeur, who turns quickly and watches as Gauff goes up the line with her backhand. So too does Jabeur with her forehand. And she hooks one across court to the Gauff forehand, and that's long. First lengthy point goes the way of the Minister for Happiness, the Tunisian magician.
And these are the areas in the Gauff game that are still a work in progress, and that Ons Jabeur and her team will have talked about and be planning to try to exploit. The second serve in particular can be something which breaks down. You will get double faults. She's worked a lot on her forehand. That's improved a lot.
Drop shot, which Jabeur's going to get to very easily. That wasn't a well-constructed point by Goff, and Jabeur gets herself back to juice, and she's putting a little bit of pressure on the American serve right away. I think it's fairly clear from the cheers she receives every time she wins a point that Jabeur will have the backing of the Philippe Chatrier crowd today, although Kirko is incredibly popular herself. That's a good serve. It's on the stretch, returned long by Jabeur. Excellent first serve, 167 kilometres an hour, but out wide to the right-hander's forehand.
We talked about role models, didn't we? And these two are both incredibly eloquent, able to speak on a range of issues, able to talk about the bigger picture beyond tennis.
Backhand reply from Jabeur, the off forehand from Goff, who's now going down the middle of the court with a forehand, deep forehand from Jabeur. She's got a shortish ball, and although Goff is doing her best to defend from behind a baseline, the power was too much from Jabeur. She forces the error. Back to Juice, the friend you made from last night, or one of the friends you made from last night, Lady Eve Vic, is back for more.
Back today. Vic was actually in the stadium last night.
She's getting coffee. She'll be in Chatrier shortly. Can't believe we're all awake, she says. Backhand reply to the backhand of Goff. Then the extravagant slice on the forehand from Jabeur. She flattens it out this time. They're going cross-court on their forehands. And then it's Goff who nets. And Jabeur has a break point.
She's been very aggressive in this opening service game of Coco Gauff on Jabeur, hasn't she? Moving forward, constantly putting pressure on the Gauff serve. As we said, it can break down.
Gauff puts her first serve into the net. Thudding steps of a dark-haired ball girl as she runs across the court. Second serve to the backhand of Jabeur. Deep return. Cross court on the backhand side from Coco Gauff, and then an attempted backhand drop shot from Jabeur drops into the net, and it's juice again. As Mark, we're not going to go through loads more bizarre names, but he suggests that Madison Pease should have been mentioned. Was Madison Pease mentioned last night?
Madison Pease was certainly in the top five.
Ah, okay. Good.
I mean, of course.
Juice. And that return on the forehand with the slice from Jabeur into the net. And at the end of this game, we will get confirmation of who won, which fruit won the vote and how close it was, and mention a few worthy contenders. Sun started to come out again. Long first game, forehand return from Jabeur, the backhand's deep from Goff, and the forehand's long from Jabeur. So Coco survives a break point in her opening game, and after 6 minutes she holds serve. As Gigi mentioned, we've got Iga Świątek against Marketa Vondrousova after this, followed by Grigor Dimitrov, the rejuvenated Grigor Dimitrov. Isn't it great to see him playing so well again? He'll need to today against Jannik Sinner, and what a match tonight potentially anyway, although Stefanos Tsitsipas has struggled against Carlos Alcaraz up to now. So how tight was the fruit vote, Eleanor?
It was very, very tight. It was as tight as it could possibly be. Strawberries, raspberries, mangoes. Actually, mango was a bit of a late surge. They all did very good business in terms of the emails and tweets that we were getting in. But the joint winners were blueberries and pineapple. And on mention of food, funnily enough, the dogs come back.
Yes. Return long from Goff. So we're going to picture the two winning fruits in a little while. And the prize is that fruit for anybody who can get up to our commentary booth as Jabeur steps in with a plus one and hammers it into the open court. I appreciate that for many of you, getting up to the fifth floor of the media centre here at Roland Garros may be a little bit of a challenge. But we like to set you challenges. And come on, to get a pineapple and some blueberries has to be worth it. Oh, wonderful. Backhand cross-court winner now from Jabeur, racing to 40 love in her first service game. I mean, Vic, however, I mean, Vic's in the building.
Vic's in the building, and Vic was here, I think, to the end last night, so she would have had a fairly short night's sleep.
It's a very short service game, and ace from Jabeur closes it out to love, so it's one apiece. Well, Vic, if you can somehow get your way around to this side of the building, we'd love to get rid of this pineapple because we can't open it.
What's Vic going to do with a pineapple all day at Roland Garros?
Well,
give it its own seat?
Possibly.
Perhaps.
I mean, Vic might have a knife. Well, actually, probably not. Probably wouldn't be allowed in with a knife. I hope not, anyway. But, I mean, Gigi's sending all these YouTube videos of how you can open a pineapple without a knife. Frankly, it's far too much effort. Goff serving, backhand reply. Take the picture of that. Eleanor has now put the headphones and microphone around the pineapple, and already it's contributed more than Chris Bowers.
You're so mean to Chris Bowers. Chris Bowers is such an important and valued member of the team.
I love him. He knows that.
We all love him.
1-15 love. Goff. If you can go to the backhand, just misses with the first serve. Encouraging start, certainly from a neutral point of view here. The last meeting between these two was over in the blink of an eye. Oh, what a return. Backhand down the line, winner from Jabeur. They last met in Cancun, the World Tour Finals, those somewhat bizarre conditions in Mexico. And Goff romped to victory. Looks like it's going to be rather tighter this time around. 1-1, 15-15. Goff from the president's box end serve to the Jabeur forehand, and her return goes across court and wide.
Yes, I mean, it's an odd match. I'm not sure how much store we should place by that win. Certainly the nature of it, the speed of it, it had the feeling of an end-of-season moment for Jabeur. She has struggled, at least at the start of the year, with various injuries. The knee's been a problem. So whether she was physically and mentally spent at that point. But, I mean, overall, the head-to-head record is 4-2. So it does suggest that Coco Gauff feels confident about playing on Jabeur.
Well, she's going to feel even more confident after hammering down successive aces to hold. Three games played. We're on serve at 1-2. The Earl of Barnes, by the way, our unofficial statistician, has got more quiz questions, which I bet is just what you want after 3 hours of sleep.
I can't even remember my own name. Let alone name the three African women to reach a Roland Garros semi-final. Obviously one of them is... Well, she's bidding to become the third African woman to reach a Roland Garros semi-final. Can you name the other two? This is from Max, our friendly stats man.
You can't call him Max anymore. He's got this self-proclaimed title of the Earl of Barnes.
I'm Lady Eleanor.
Yes.
I can call him whatever I choose.
Well, I'm Baron Buckland of Tottenham. I think I'd trump both of you.
Well,
actually, I don't know. In terms of who's more sort of senior, as it were, an Earl, a Baron, or a Lady?
I think it's an Earl.
Oh,
but I'm going to need to Google.
All right.
Or use other search engines which are available.
If you can check that. But that's the first question from the Earl. Jabeur bidding to become the third African woman to reach a Roland Garros semi-final in the Open era. Can you name the other two? Here is Jabeur serving at 1-2 and a forehand into the net from Coco Gauff. You can get in touch with us in the usual way. You can tweet us at @radio_RG. That's at @radio_RG. You can email us frenchopenradio@fft.fr. That's frenchopenradio@fft.fr. Off forehand wide with the plus one from Jabeur, so 15-15.
Duke is the highest of the five ranks of the peerage, standing above the ranks of Marquess, Earl, Viscount, and Baron.
Oh.
So you've got some work to do, Marquess.
I'm in last place. Returns long from Gauff. All right, I bow to your superiority, your earldom.
Duke, Marquess, Earl, Viscount, Baron.
I'm happy with the Baron. It's one of the nicer things that I've been called, certainly in this team. Forehand long now from Gauff.
I also think Baron Bowers has got a good name to it. Isn't it? A good ring to it.
It's just not as good as Faulty Bowers.
I mean, that is true.
Oh, the sun has come out big time now, beating down on this magnificent stadium court. Backhand reply from Goff onto the backhand of Jabeur. Takes Goff out wide onto her backhand side, and then Jabeur makes a real mess as she tries to place her backhand in Goff's forehand corner. That was the area to go to, but she missed it by a country mile.
It's worth remembering that actually Coco Gauff also beat Ange Jabeur here in under an hour in 2021. It was a loss of just four games. That might be more relevant in some ways than the most recent meeting, although for Jabeur's sake, she will be thinking of Roland Garros in 2022, where she beat Coco Gauff in the semi-finals of Wimbledon.
Strong play this time from Jabeur with her backhand down the line. It forces the error from Goff. Jabeur holds, and after 13 minutes, it's two apiece. And Chris has come up with one of the answers from the Earl's question. We're looking for the two African women who have made the semi-finals at Roland Garros in the Open era. She's attempted to become the third one, and Amanda Kurtzer.
Yes, of course.
Is one answer. Chris says that he's stumped on the other one. So am I.
Amanda Kurtzer was something of a pocket rocket, wasn't she? South African player, great movement, diminutive in size, but big on heart.
The mighty atom was her nickname, as Jabeur attempts to really leather a forehand return, but she nets it. Well, thank you, Chris. So we've got one of the two names. Who's going to come up with the other one? Goff, to all, 15 love. Serve into the backhand, and that was a quickish serve. 194 kilometres an hour. Came at Jabeur quicker than she was expecting, and she nets the return. Lots of doubles, junior matches today. I'll keep an eye on the British juniors, because I know that some of you have a particular interest in one or two of those, and I'm very interested to watch Henry Burnett of Switzerland, who's playing on court four, saw off the third seed in emphatic style yesterday, and Courtney Walsh was telling me that this young Swiss player is superb. Oh, just wide with a forehand down the line from Jabeur. He's playing Max Schoenhaus of Germany at the moment, and Burnett's already a break up. He's leading 3-2. I believe he plays at Roger Federer's club, and the whole nation is very, very excited. He's burst onto the scene quite late from a junior point of view. He's 17 now. Hadn't done too much in terms of results prior to recently, but keep an eye out for that name, Henry Burnett of Switzerland. Goff to all, 40 love. And that serve just clips the top of the tape. You can never read too much into what people do at junior level, of course, although a fair few go on to become champions, and got an example of that right in front of us. Backhand down the line from Jabeur onto the forehand now, cross court to the forehand of Goff, who flattens out the ball. Those really flat forehands cross court. Then Jabeur changes the angle, and now she plays the drop shot on the backhand side. Goff gets to that, gets to it really well, and hammers a backhand cross court winner.
Yes, both these players very good juniors, and there are lots and lots of examples everywhere you look of players who did well in juniors and then went on to replicate that at the very highest level. Of course, there are equally lots of examples of players who injury, motivation, or just found they didn't enjoy the life of an itinerant professional tennis player. There's so much travel, months and months away from home, the physical demands, the mental demands. It's a lot harder than it looks. I always think that with boys' junior tennis, the other thing to bear in mind is, as we know, young men, as they're growing, they grow at such different rates. You can see a junior who's... You can see two juniors who are the same age, and there can be such an enormous height difference. And in tennis, it makes such a huge difference, doesn't it? And they so, and they grow. They have these growth spurts where they suddenly can grow enormously. I remember seeing Juan Martín Del Potro and... At one Grand Slam, at the Australian Open, I believe it was, he was, you know, he was a 15, 16, and he was sort of boy height. And then the next time I saw him, he was Juan Martín Del Potro.
Yeah. That's incredible. Right. No breaks in the opening five games of this quarter-final, and the first point of the sixth goes to where Jabir Cutters here, long forehand from Coco Gauff. Tim, who's listening poolside in Seville, says, was Coco Nut Gauff mentioned last night?
Yes, she was indeed. On the African player, another Tim, or a Timothy in this case, said Cara Black. I'm not sure Cara Black did that much in singles. She had a good singles career, but really her greatest achievements were in doubles and mixed doubles.
Another forehand long from Gauff, not quite getting her range and rhythm off that wing. Annoyingly, the Earl of Barnes, having set that question, has told me that he's emailed it to say that he's popped out for a while. We'll have to wait for the answers. Obviously gone to speak to some of the peasants in his area, bestow greetings upon them, throw them a few coins perhaps. Second serve, backhand reply from Gauff deep to the backhand side of Jabir, who tries to go down the line. It was an ambitious shot because she had to swivel her body, not really in the position. Of course, the percentage play is to go back across court. She went for the exotic, which is her custom and her right. 30-15, backhand reply now from Gauff right to the feet of Jabir, who had to back up a little bit. And is then, I think, quite relieved to see another error on the forehand side from Gauff.
We've had a wonderful email from Jody about guide dogs. I'll wait till the change of ends, just sharing some insight.
It's a good serve. It's sliced back by, Gauff. And then Jabir, well, she's now come to that. She's put a sharp little volley up, goes a high lob from Gauff. It's just long. I mean, Jabir should have won that point comfortably when she came in behind the serve and had half the court vacant for her to put the ball into, and for some reason went straight back at Gauff. But she holds. It's three games all.
And I think Gauff is very well aware of what the challenge will be against Ons Jabeur. Short balls, volleys, dinks. Lots of craft on the ball.
Spencer wants to know, did Grigor Dimitrov get mentioned last night? Oh, Spencer. Good shout. We won't focus. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty more, but we'll...
we might save them for the night session.
Yeah, I've got the joy of that tonight. Looking forward to it as well. Sits a pass against Alcaraz. Backhand reply from Jabir. Now she's onto her forehand cross-court to the forehand of Gauff, who goes across court as well. That's good power and good whip from Gauff, and it forces the error from Jabir. Yeah, we'll be back. We'll be here. Well, we won't be back. We're not going anywhere. We are here from 11 o'clock every morning, or at least from whatever time play starts on Chatray. It starts to be pushed back a little, doesn't it, as we head towards the denouement of the tournament. And we're here until the last ball is struck in anger, which a few nights ago was 3:07. What was it last night in the end?
It was certainly well after 1 a.m. We got back at about 2, so I'd have to check the finish time, but it was in the wee small hours.
Yeah. It was because of 2 5 setters as Jabir comes up with a wonderful off forehand winner. Lots of people jumping out of their seats to applaud that, looking to give her as much encouragement as possible. What a day it was yesterday here on Chatray. Djokovic looked to be cruising to victory after the first set against Francisco Cerúndolo. And then, as he acknowledged afterwards, he slipped, further injuring a knee that was already causing him some trouble. He looked at one stage as though he was heading out of the tournament when he trailed by 2-1. The painkillers kicked in and eventually he came through in 5. Forehand is long from Jabir. Then, in his press conference, Eleanor, he did say that he's not sure if he'll be fit enough to play his quarterfinal.
Yes, I mean, it was a kind of mixed message from Djokovic in the press conference. We actually played a lot of the press conference out here on Radio Roland Garros because we were intrigued to hear what he was going to say. And he said there are reasons for optimism, but there are also some signs of things that aren't so good. He's going to have more scans today, try and get some assessment on it. And it's very difficult after a match. He will have had immediately treatment and ice baths and all the rest of it, and physiotherapy.
by the way.
Just Goff just fluffing a volley there.
Yeah, well, it was one of those drop shot returns from Chabert. Goff read it. She got to it, and as Eleanor said, she fluffed it.
Yeah, Djokovic, I mean, I don't think he was trying to be mysterious. I think you genuinely don't know in the immediate aftermath of a match, because a lot depends on how he wakes up today, what the scans reveal.
Chabert's frustrated. She had an angled forehand return that she didn't do what she wanted to do with. 30 all, there was an opportunity had she got that back into play, asking a couple of questions. But Goff now with a chance to sit down leading 4-3. Went for a really big serve down the middle, 198 kilometres an hour, but it missed the mark by quite a distance. Here comes the second serve, and it's to the backhand of Chabert, mid-court return. Then she's taken out wide. Oh, and she jumps into a magnificent backhand winner down the line. That's the Ons Jabeur that so many people have come to love and appreciate.
She has the capacity to thrill on a tennis court, and as you said, it was almost balletic, wasn't it? A dance through the air as she hit that backhand. And the pressure just starting to notch up a little bit on Coco Gauff.
23 minutes played, 3-all, juice. Forehand return is just chipped into play by Jabeur, and she's taken out wide on a forehand, goes across court. The chip from Jabeur now on her backhand side, flattened out by Goff on the forehand. Drop shot from Jabeur. Can Goff get there? She can, but she's going to get... Oh, she's not passed. Jabeur misses with a backhand volley, a volley you would expect her to execute 99 times out of 100.
All the work was done on the drop shot. Chabert's initial drop shot was magnificent, and the court coverage from Coco Gauff, the anticipation and the speed of foot to get there, just dink it across court, and I think Chabert was a little bit surprised to see it coming back.
Terrific play. It's a great contrast of styles at the moment. Gauff now serves to the backhand. It's chipped right onto the baseline. The point continues. Goff paused for a moment. I think she thought the return was going to be out. Now she's playing a backhand. Chabert makes room for herself on her forehand side. She's going to play another forehand cross court. It's the forehand of Goff, who goes long.
It was all very clear in her mind exactly what she was going to do. She was very set and going down the line, had the space. Chabert wasn't moving to it. But again, just skewing wide. Just one or two things to tighten up in the Coco Gauff game, but I think she is responding to some impressive pressure from Ons Jabeur. She started quite aggressively, the Tunisian, hasn't she? Pushing back on Goff's serve, hustling.
First serve is long from Goff. We're back at juice again in this seventh game. A sunny Tuesday morning in the French capital. Second serve. Chipped on the backhand from Jabeur. A big backhand down the line from Goff. She's now playing an off forehand slice back by Jabeur. Forehand down the line from Goff. Cross court from Jabeur. Backhand is deep. Oh, it's long. I think there was no call, but Jabeur has indicated where she thinks the ball landed. The umpire, Carla Noon, is coming to have a look. And he confirms that it was long. Awkward moment for the line judge there, who didn't make the call. Jabeur was absolutely convinced, and she was right.
Imagine you'd feel awful, wouldn't you? They do so much right.
Yeah.
You'd have that sick feeling in the pit of your stomach.
Well, everyone can make a mistake, lady. It means that Jabeur has a break point here. Goff's put her first serve into the net. Real chance. Jabeur now just steps inside the court to receive this second serve. Plays a backhand deep to the forehand of Goff, who puts plenty of height on the ball. Flattened out forehand from Jabeur. She's got another high bouncing ball, which is played to the backhand side of Goff. Then she's going to go for the off forehand, and she's missed. I thought she was going to wind herself up for the inside in then. Maybe at the last moment she changed her mind. And the chance comes and goes. The other thing I would say, fortunately for the line judge, I mean, I think if I was the player and I didn't get the call when I should have done, I might start glaring at him or her, but she didn't even look in his direction.
No, other players might have done that.
Yeah.
But not so much on Jabeur.
deuce. Forehand return cross court from Jabeur. She's slicing on her backhand again to the backhand wing of Goff. She's slicing again, short angle. The ball lands on the line. She's got Goff to come forward, and this time Jabeur makes no mistake with the forehand cross court pass, and it's another break opportunity for her.
Well, the beauty of clay, of course, is that you get the option of asking for a second opinion. So I think those confrontations are less likely to happen on clay, because you can just say, actually, I'd like you to just double check that, I'm not 100% sure. And in some ways it's much fairer than on other surfaces.
Break point number two for Ons Jabeur. Goff, oh, she went for another big serve down the middle. Just missed again, 196 kilometers an hour. Pressure on this second serve. Oh, it was right on the back of the service line. But then with a plus one, Goff goes long, and Jabeur has the first break of this quarterfinal. Coming up to the half-hour mark, the players sit down with Ons Jabeur leading by 4-3.
You could feel it coming, couldn't you? Jabeur, as I said, she's started more brightly. She's been aggressive on return of serve. She's pushing and hustling and asking Goff questions. And Goff just succumbing. And again, that forehand just can break down. There are things in the Coco Goff game to tighten up. As the atmosphere lifts and the Tunisian flags are waved. We saw a lot, actually, as we were coming in this morning. Lots of people trying to bring flags in, and security staff were holding them all up. It was like a sort of Tunisian festival.
Well, they'll certainly have a party if she carries on like this. Nancy's been in touch, says South Africa's... Apologies if I don't get this name exactly right.
Kugatso.
Kugatso Montagne?
Montagne.
Oh, there you go. Was a wheelchair semi-finalist in 2013. Does this qualify? No. I mean, it's a very good answer, but Max, I think, was specifically going for women's singles semi-finalists.
We're looking for the third... Well, Ons Jabeur is bidding to become the third African woman in the Roland Garros semi-final in singles.
Red Sox Devil from Perth, Australia. He's always in touch. You'd have a good night out with Red Sox Devil. Forehand cross court from Jabeur. Same shot from Goff. And then down the line for a winner from Ons Jabeur. I think he's being harsh on me. He says no one does dismissive, contemptuous, comical, imaginative, sideswiping, cutting criticism like Marcus. Faulty Bowers is a real radio Roland Garros classic.
Did you write that?
I feel like I should have done. And he finishes off by saying, keep it rolling, you cracking abuse monster. My belief is get the abuse in quickly before someone starts abusing you. Another swift point for Jabeur. So 4-3 and 30 love. Backhand return. Off return from Goff, who's now swivelling round to play a ball down the middle of the court. And Jabeur has cracked another forehand, which has landed on Goff's baseline for a winner.
But she's just trying, I think, to keep that momentum up on Jabeur, trying to ride this wave of energy, consolidate the break of serve, and just force her personality as much as anything on the match.
One of those drop shots, in comes Goff. Oh, she's been caught up in the Jabeur lair. She was brought in, she got to the ball, but all she could do was pop it back up. And Jabeur neatly placed the ball over the American's head. She's consolidated the break, and now Goff is serving to stay in the first set at 3-5.
She's in the Jabeur vortex, isn't she, Goff, right now?
Yeah, certainly is. Running forehand return this time from Jabeur is long, and having done no wrong for a game and a half or so, finally she proves that she's human again.
Much better serve from Coco Goff.
That's a good serve as well, but it's kind of contemptuously swiped back into court by Jabeur, who then goes across court with a backhand. After that, she indicated with a finger that she should have gone down the line. At least I think that's what that little gesture was, with her finger. You never know. Dirty love. Goff's so cool-headed, she's not going to panic just because she's a breakdown. Second serve to the forehand. It's a brilliant... Oh, what a return. Just stood there almost with her eyes closed and swiped a forehand cross-court for a clean winner. Goff's first serve into the net. At 30-15. Backhand return, cross court from Jabeur. Now the forehand, the off forehand. Goff's trying to drive that one back down the line. On her backhand wing, she nets. It's 30 all. And how Jabeur really would love to seize upon this momentum that has got her into such an encouraging position right now and close out the first set. She chips her return, and it leads to an error from Goff. Caught mid-court. Not sure quite what she should be doing at the moment.
How can you just take that serve out of the air, carve it almost, send it back with such finesse? Wonderful work from Ange Jabeur.
Set point. The chipped return sails long, and Coco clenches her left fist and screams, come on.
It's not often that Coco Gauff is the less popular player. She's become a very much loved superstar, as Marcus was saying at the top of the match.
3-5 juice, second serve, backhand return, cross court, and wide from Gauff. Here comes set point number two.
And Goff just dancing on her toes, trying to feed off a little bit of the energy that's in here. It may not be in her favour, but sometimes a player can be buoyed by being the underdog.
First serve into the net. If Jabeur wins this point, you'll hear all about it from the crowd. Backhand reply into the net from Jabeur. Trying to go across court. Oh, she wheels away in frustration after that.
And the Goff serve, well, it has its moments, but it's also a significant weapon. And it's keeping her in this set so far.
Chip back into play on the forehand side by Jabeur. Cross court from Goff. And a slice, attempted slice down the line by the Tunisian is into the net. Coco fighting tooth and nail to keep alive in this first set, to pose the question of Jabeur, to make her serve it out. Ace! Out wide to the Jabeur backhand, 187 kilometres an hour, and having fought off two set points, Coco's still alive when they stand up in a 90-second or so margin from now. Jabeur will serve for the set at 5-4. Eleanor Preston.
Trace says, good day to you all from the finally sunny and warm, it says warm here, but I think you mean warm, Republic of Macedonia. Following Emperor Salmon, Sir Marcus, Duke of Buckland, is the undisputed gentleman of Radio Roland Garros and Wimbledon.
Thank you.
As for the rest, I have assigned them minor titles.
Excellent.
E.g., in my peerage list, Eleanor is registered as a lady-in-waiting.
Very good.
Have you hacked the email in the 4 hours that I wasn't here? Have you popped in, hacked the email, changed the IP address?
Our audience are entitled to
fill the email box with epithets about you. This is a lovely email from Jody, I mentioned earlier. Jody from the US. Being totally blind, I've very occasionally had the pleasure of working with my wife's guide dog, who has now retired. And I can tell you, it's incredible and a totally different experience from using a cane. I want puppy cuddles now. Well, it's been such a joy to have a pooch in here this morning. But worth remembering that guide dogs, like the one we've had a visit from, do an incredible job. And they're trained by wonderful people, aren't they, who often volunteer their time.
Jabeur serving for the set, and a miss hit on the forehand wing from Coco Gauff gives the Tunisian the first point of this 10th game. I've got an idea.
Go on.
Guess the name of the dog.
I mean, this is right in the Radio Roland Garros wheelhouse, isn't it?
Because we will be able to find out the answer without cheating.
Remember, it's a French dog.
French dog. It's a black Labrador.
Well, I have avoided so far naming the breed of the dog because I'm not an expert. I would say it might be a retriever.
Oh, yeah, I'm no expert with dogs. It's a double fault from Jabir.
If you know what sort of dog it is, have a look on Marcus's Twitter feed if you're on Twitter, because he's posted a picture of said pooch.
It's on the Radio Roland Garros Twitter, actually, as well. So have a look. Well, we need confirmation of the type, but let's guess the name. Sun's out in force again, having dipped behind some clouds as Jabir plays a forehand to the forehand wing of Goff, who was off balance, stretching behind the baseline. She's looking up at a box now, shrugging her shoulders as Jabir moves to within 2 points of taking this first set. Now she serves to the forehand, shortish ball, slice on the backhand, deep by Jabir, cross court from Goff down the line from Jabir, forces the error, this time on the backhand wing of the American, and here are two set points.
Well, she is worthy of this lead on Jabir. Started the brighter, played the more aggressively. The intent has been there.
It's an ace! It's one heck of a set as far as Ons Jabir is concerned. 184 kilometres an hour down the middle of the court. Goff was nowhere near it. And Jabir has the first set of the first quarterfinal of the day by 6-4.
Kate says, I'm waiting to board the long-haul leg of our trip home from Korea. I'm not sure how long I'll be able to listen. Come on, Coco. Rob says, so exciting listening to your ball-by-ball coverage. I hate it when two players I really respect meet in a quarter-final. This could be a final, if not for the draw. Goff is having a hiccup. Miss Jabir is due, but will she make it onward? Well, if this crowd has anything to do with it, she will, but there's a long way to go. And as we've said, Coco Goff is very, very resilient. You don't win a Grand Slam title without having that resilience. You certainly don't get to number four in the world. So there's a long, long way to go. We are just coming up on 40 minutes for that first set. So that tells you that it was a battle.
Oh, it was intriguing. But Jabir is playing brilliantly at the moment, and she's definitely placed a fair degree of doubt at the front of Coco's mind. She's not quite sure what she has to do to negate these unique tactics that the Tunisian invariably brings to a court. Saif's been in touch and says, I've asked for this before, I shall ask again. With friends in high places, can't you all, or can y'all, help organise a mixed doubles exhibition featuring Ons Jabir, Mansour Bahrami, up against Sue-Wei Shea and Dustin Brown?
I would pay to watch that. Certainly.
2 minutes remaining. Me too. Dustin played this week. He's about, I think, to call time on his career. Must be in his 40s now, Dustin Brown. But what an entertainer over the years.
Great grass court player in particular. Yeah. He's always one who's shone during the grass court season. Zach said, is the dog's name Kevin?
Right, yeah, would I think of a name? I'm not going down Kevin.
Well, there's quite a lot of, quite a surprising number of Kevins in France, despite the fact that we associate it with being a British or American name.
But would you give it to a dog?
Well, I think Kevin's quite a good name for a dog, but I would say we're not assuming that the dog is one gender or another.
Well, that's the other point, actually, yes.
I think maybe it's called Amelie after our esteemed tournament director.
Can we get the dog back in for a physical examination?
No, I don't think that we don't need to put the dog through that. Also, which one of the three of us is qualified? Stefan's pointing at Marcus. He wasn't. I'm not even sure he was in the top three of those answers.
A little bit of a delay because both players have gone off court after the first set. Coco has just come back. I'm trying to think of some classic, stereotypical French names for animals like Fufu or
Lucien.
Actually, Jabir is back. Sorry, she was hiding at the back of the court. I don't think she did go off court. I looked down at the two chairs, saw Goff coming back, but Jabir was already standing behind her baseline. Wants to get on with it. I'm not surprised after that first set. Goff to the forehand, and the return is wide. I might have to come up with a name then that could suit a male and female dog, just to cover my bases.
Go gender neutral.
Yes. 15 love.
What about Coco?
Coco is...
Coco Chanel, of course, being an icon of French fashion.
That's a very good shout. Backhand return is deep to the forehand side. Oh, that ball was right onto Jabeur's baseline. She played a curious-looking shot. Now up goes a high ball from Jabeur. Coco lets it bounce and puts away the smash.
Well, this is the time for Coco Gauff to just lift, and she'll know that. She's been in so many tight contests before. As I said, she is very emotionally resilient. She has the ability to shake off bad starts. I mean, in saying that, I don't think she made a bad start. I think Ange Jabeur made a very good start.
Yeah.
Maybe the serve, I think, can improve slightly. The forehand has broken down on occasion.
In comes Gauff now. She's playing a deep backhand volley. She could get lobbed. She has been lobbed. Perfect, just inside the baseline from Jabeur as Gauff came in. Whatever tactic she's looking to adopt now to negate the challenge of the Tunisian is not going to work with that move.
And what we're seeing at the moment is Ange Jabeur doing Ange Jabeur things. And Coco Gauff will know what those strengths are. She'll know what to expect, but there's expecting it and then there's dealing with it.
In comes Gauff again, and she had to deal with a little neck cord. Dealt with it very well. Backhand volley, which Jabeur couldn't get to. When she does finally get to the ball, she kicks it away. We know she's quite skillful when it comes to football. A supporter of Real Madrid and Juventus. I was mentioning a couple of days ago, I think that's cheating. You can only have one team. Unless your first one's really bad, like Fulham. Hello, Eleanor.
Honestly, from a Tottenham fan, the audacity.
Gauff serving out wide. Oh, my word! What a return from Ons Jabeur. She just pushed her racket out on the forehand side and guided the neatest, cheekiest little return with a short angle just over the net. Nothing that Gauff could do about that.
She is so much fun to watch when she's in this mood on Jabeur. She's like a walking highlights reel.
40-30. Gauff from in front of the president's box. That first serve is low, long. I mean, she's getting plenty of pace on her serve, but as Eleanor said, hasn't been as accurate as is required in these circumstances. Second serve. Oh, well, even Ons just asked a little too much of herself there. Slightly off balance. It was a body serve. She attempted a backhand drop shot return. Couldn't control that one. So Gauff holds to 30. And that game was just merely further whetted the appetite, I would suggest, for what's to come, Eleanor.
Yes, it's been a microcosm of the match as a whole so far. Resilience from Gauff. Audacity from Ons Jabeur in her shot-making. As we've been saying, that hold could be very important for Coco Gauff. Just needs to stop Ons Jabeur and the crowd and the atmosphere from just rolling.
Du Roland Garros.
Game, set and match.
Radio Roland Garros will be with you every afternoon from 2 p.m. local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball-by-ball commentary, exclusive interviews and all the very latest news.
Live on radio.
Roland Garros.
Roland Garros.
Away from her.
Gauff's now having to race onto her backhand wing, goes cross-court and wide. Zachary says, if between the two of you can't figure out whether the dog's a boy or a girl, that's alarming. It's not difficult.
The dog is not in the room right now. That does make it slightly more difficult.
Laura says, being a lovely black-haired lab type pup, the guide dog is named either Cole or Raven. Okay, thank you.
Or Noir.
Noir? Off forehand, on the line again from Jabeur. She's painting the lines at the moment. I am going, and this is partly because I once looked after a friend's dog with the same name. I'm going with Truffles or Truffle.
Truffles is a nice name for a dog. Was it a little dog?
No, it was a lab. Still is, I hope. A backhand return from Goff and the off backhand into the net from Jabeur.
Now, the heartening thing for Goff, apart from her own skills and what she has in terms of weapons, is also the knowledge that Ons Jabeur can drop a level of play.
She does it there. Instead, it's Goff with a disappointing return.
You're not going to get blown off court by Ons Jabeur. You're going to get outfoxed and messed about with and magicked and confounded.
Backhand return from Goff, who's on that backhand wing again, deep to the forehand of Jabeur, who goes across court down the line from Goff. She's there again with the backhand that was right onto the baseline. Deep play from both players, who are finding different lines again in this particular rally. Cross court from Goff, the little drop shot from Jabeur. In comes Goff. She slices a forehand down the line. Jabeur got to it and she put it wide.
And that's the thing, that if every clever Ons Jabeur shot, if she makes every one, you're not going to win. She is going to win. But the likelihood of her making every shot, because of the way she plays and the craft that she puts on the ball and what she asks of herself, it's not always high percentage tennis from Jabeur, and that will give Goff opportunities.
Love one, 40-30. Jabeur having taken the first set by 6-4. Sandebeur. Aeroplane. First time I've heard that this fortnight. Backhand return from Goff to the backhand of Jabeur. They're going across court with their respective backhands. Now a midcourt ball for Goff. Big, powerful forehand. Winner.
That could be the Empress's private jet. Coming in to land at an airstrip nearby. She likes to have it on standby, just in case she needs to pop out anywhere.
Oh, yeah. Spot of shopping in one of the nearby centres that are difficult to get to by car or, dare I mention, metro. That's good depth again from Jabeur. She took Goff, first of all, out wide on a forehand side, changed the angle, and although Goff slid across as quickly as she couldn't get there. Game point to level up in set number two. Match that's very easy on the eye. That first serve is long. David in Huntington says his pound is on the dog being called Cedric. Yep, it's a good traditional French name, isn't it? Backhand return from Goff. She's going to come in now. She doesn't have to do anything because Jabeur had sliced the backhand cross court, looking to land it low to the feet of the oncoming Goff. But she got the angle slightly wrong. It landed wide. So we're at deuce, and here may be an opportunity now for the American to put some pressure on the occasionally fragile Tunisian serve. Oh, there's nothing fragile about that. It's an ace down the middle at 176 kilometres an hour.
And Jabeur says, don't you call my serve fragile.
I'm very sorry. Another deep serve. Backhand return is good. Down the line from Jabeur. It's just missed this time. Only by a fraction. Love one. Deuce. Big game for Goff. Big serve again from Jabeur. It's flown off the line as she goes wide to the forehand. Another ace. 156 kilometres an hour. It's her fourth ace of the contest. And the fact that it flew off the line as well made it impossible for Goff to get anywhere near it.
It was a brave serve, wasn't it? Very, very close to the line. Just playing with complete belief and certainty in that moment.
Clock ticks around to midday local time. It's high noon. We've got a fine tune being played by both these players. Forehand to forehand at the moment. Now the backhand, the off backhand. Oh, she's found another line, has Ons Jabeur. Goff was going the other way. Jabeur went down the line with a backhand. Precision perfect.
And Goff just sighed
she saw that flying past her. One of those days for Mons Jabeur.
Probably the similar sound to one you made as your alarm went off this morning.
That's a polite version of it.
Yeah, I didn't know you knew those words, actually. I don't know. I could hear them from three doors away. In comes Goff, forehand cross-court winner with a plus one. First point of game number three. It's one game all. If you are just joining us on Radio Roland Garros, Ons Jabeur took the first set by 6-4. I'm Marcus Buckland in the company of Eleanor Preston. We'd love to hear from you. You can tweet us at radio_RG, at radio_RG. You can email us frenchopenradio@fft.fr. That's frenchopenradio@fft.fr. Any subjects, of course, are open for debate, including the guessing game today. What is the name of the guide dog who popped into our booth at the start of the show and is very, very sweet? Forehand down the line, winner, Jabeur. Anything from Kevin to Cedric to Truffles to Coco.
Kevin.
Yes. Plenty of others.
Bear in mind it's a French dog, so it might have a French name rather than an anglicised name.
Goff. And the drop shot return is too ambitious for Jabeur. Good first serve again, taking Jabeur out wide to try to slice the forehand drop shot. Couldn't manage to do so. Interestingly, Manny, who's in rainy Monmouth, says, I predicted before the match that Goff would win 4-6, 6-2, 6-3. But now that Jabeur's actually taken the first set, I'm doubting myself. Well, I mean, you're a third of the way to getting it absolutely right with that 4-6. So don't doubt yourself, Manny. Although I have to say the way Jabeur is playing at the moment, you might start too shortly. Goff's gone to 40-15, though, in her second service game of set number two. Chatre now around about, certainly more than half full.
In the sunshine, the warm sunshine. This is by far the warmest day we've had so far. It's not blistering hot, but it's a lovely early 20s, if you like, early 70s, if you're in Fahrenheit.
And there is another exhibit that Ons Jabeur can show to the tennis world and proclaim, that's why I'm different, that's why I'm brilliant. The return had Goff on the back foot, and then Jabeur ghosted in with a beautiful little backhand drop volley. And it's 40-30. Goff puts her first serve into the net. Elizabeth suggests Diesel for the name of the dog. Backhand reply from Goff, from Jabeur with one foot off the ground, and Goff goes long with her plus one. She's at deuce, and now she's got to be careful again.
She does. She needs to find a little bit of just the fire that we know is in there. Coco Goff, she's not played badly. Sometimes you have to weather the storm from your opponent, particularly when you're playing an opponent of the class and quality of Ons Jabeur and the inventiveness.
Slice forehand reply from Jabeur. That's really good from Goff, though. She came in. It was a short return. She didn't doubt herself, and she flicked a backhand cross court to win the point and go to game point, as John in Sweden, who was telling us earlier in the week that Noddy Holder from Slade was the West Midlands Junior Schoolboy Champion at tennis in 1957, backed that up with an extract from Noddy's autobiography. Forehands long from Goff. He says, how about Bizou or Marais or Chouette or Ricard or Crotin? Question mark. These are all being noted.
Jody says, I think the dog's called Stéphane. It's either a black or golden lab, most likely. They are shepherds are possible, but they are very vocal. And I haven't heard any barks in the box apart from Marcus. So I'm going with black or golden lab.
It's deuce. It's a forehand return. Low, flat across court. Down the line from Coco Goff. And wide from Jabeur. And she bounces up and down in annoyance as she sees that backhand drift into the alley. This will be a good hold of serve for Coco Goff. Crowd vocal. And very much in favour of Jabir. I serve internet a pigeon. Flew quite low for a moment, had a look, and disappeared.